pleasure to welcome my next guest here on thecommentary.ca. He's flamboyant, colorful, and his is nearly a Horatio Alger-like story. In fact, when they made a movie of his life, it starred Stephen Baldwin. He is Bo Deedle, one tough cop, one of the most highly decorated detectives in the history of the New York City Police Department. Among his successful arrests and convictions include what Mayor Ed Koch called the most vicious crime in New York City history, the brutal rape and mutilation of a nun in East Harlem, and the Palm Sunday Massacre, the fatal murder of 8 children and 2 adults, reported to be the most heinous homicide in New York. He retired from the force in March 1985 at the age of 35 to found Bo Deedle & Associates, one of the largest investigation and security firms in the United States, advising many notable corporations, celebrities, and foreign dignitaries. And you might also know him from his weekly appearances on Imus in the Morning. He is on the line this morning to talk about his new book, Business Lunchitations, How an Everyday Guy Became One of America's Most Powerful CEOs, and how you can too. $28 Canadian, $19.95 American, published by Chamberlain Brothers and imprint of Penguin. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, Bo Deedle. Good morning, Mr. Deedle.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Page 6 in the New York Post and Richard Johnson took exception with a subtitle of your books disputing that you were one of America's most powerful CEOs. How did you respond to that?
Oh, I called Richard up. Richard's a friend of mine. And I said, Richard, what was that supposed to mean? I said, first of all, I started by thanking him for putting the article. And I said, you know what, Rich? I says, I take a little exception about you questioning powerful CEO. I think powerful can be looked at in many different ways. One of the things that I really put powerful and why I wanted to use it instead of colorful, they wanted to put colorful. I said, I'm not a clown. I don't want to be colorful. Powerful means when you can get 20 or so of the top CEOs from Warren Buffett, Jack Welch on down to agree to be tape recorded for my CD-ROM in the back of my book to talk to me about how networking has succeeded for them to improve their businesses. And I believe that's something that is powerful when I could call Warren Buffett up and he picks up the phone whenever I call him, or Jack Welch, or any one of these major CEOs. So I believe powerful is a very, very good adjective for describing what I do.
And the book made page 6, and you must be selling lots of copies because of it.
We hit on May 1st, the book hit on the Amazon.com business book list, bestseller list, number 5 on May 1st, and we're really, really excited about that. And also, we're very excited about the emails that we've been receiving from all over the country with people who have gotten the book and reading it, and they're telling me about that it should be called a motivational book, not just a business book, because it's enhancing a lot of people to give them direction as far as with their lives to become more successful.
Now, Penguin came to you and asked you to write this book, right?
Yeah, I had no intentions. I had written the book, One Tough Cop, which subsequently became the movie, along with a co-author. Now, Penguin, it's Chamberlain Brothers, is a division of Penguin. They came to me, and Carlo DeVito, who's the publisher, said, you know, Bo, I've been following your life since you retired from the police department, and you head up all these companies, and you're so successful, and all this. Why don't you write a book? I said, I'm really not interested in writing a book. Subsequently, I started writing with Bob Bly, who was the co-author with me, and after I finished writing the book, I was very excited at what he put together with myself, and I'm very happy I wrote it, because, again, it's helping people, and it's really something that I really am supportive of people reading it, because it's definitely a helpful book. A lot of the tips in the book are common sense, but what it does, it gives your mind an awakening to say, yeah, that makes sense, and this makes sense, yes, yes, and it gives you a direction again. So we're all ordinary people. We're all going to eventually die one day, but it's the whole idea of you dying as an ordinary person or you advancing yourself and becoming more successful and having things that you never dreamt you could have and being successful for your family.
Talk to me about where you grew up, and was, that was not a privileged childhood, right?
No, I grew up in Ozone Park, Queens, and where I grew up, there was I grew up and everyone knows it, and I never hid it at all. I grew up with the likes of John Gotti, Joey, and Ralphie Scopo. These are alleged members of organized crime, and I had a very strict father who was born in Germany, and a mother who my mother's still alive, 91, and she was born in Italy, and we had a very strict household. My mother used to work during the day, and my father worked 6 days a week also, and I grew up in a sharing a bedroom with my brother, the two of us together in one bedroom. And the first time that I started working, my brother had a Long Island press. It was a newspaper route. He was 9 years old. He's 2 years older than me. I took the route over when I was 7, and I used to deliver 76 newspapers when I was 7 years old at about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning before I went to school. And that was my first contact with work, making money so you could buy things. And I always used to iron my own shirts, and I used to always want to look good, because I always said to myself, if you look good, people like a winner. And I've taken that direction, and I've followed on for the rest of my life. And also, little tips in the book, I give some of my life stories about how it really converts. And again, you have A personalities and B personalities. You're going to have people listening out there saying, well, I'm not an extrovert like Bo, I'm an introvert. You know, Bill Gates, a friend of mine, he's an introvert. You have ways of overcoming whatever God gave you, whatever gift God gave you, whether it be a gift of a good education, not so good education. It's a drive. You've got to believe in yourself. And one of the points also, I think one of the most important points in the book is complacency is the death of success. Meaning that if you have a regular job, you work Monday through Friday, you go home, you watch the boob tube at night, and you sit back and you dream about what you would like to have in life. You know, I mean, them dreams, you can really come true, and this book gives you a lot of directions, and I'm really excited about it.
Now, I want to start with we'll talk about appearance and all the other tips that you give, but I want to start at the beginning of the book. You dedicate the book to your family, to your children, to your friends, but first and foremost, you dedicate it to your mother, and you write, who is thankfully still alive. We made it through a very tough year, and it is your encouragement that keeps me driven. What about your mother? In her life that you've taken and that you've incorporated into your own life that is Bo Deedle today?
Yeah, well, my mom, like I said, 91 years of age. We went through a pretty trying time with her the circulation of her legs, where she had a couple of bypasses. Then I had her in the hospital. She was in the hospital for about 4 months, at which time she had no less than three strokes, and she had no less than three heart attacks, and they counted her out many times. And then we finally got her home. I had bought her an apartment, and I have nurses there with her 24 hours a day. And then she developed gangrene in her foot. It started going up to her calf, and she decided she wanted to die. And they put her on what they call hospice, where they were shooting her up with morphine. And one day she came out of it, where I was able to talk to her. I said, you know, Ma, you don't have to die. You don't have cancer. I says, please let me take care of you. You've taken care of me all my life. Let me take your leg off, and I will take care of you. And I have. She then agreed with it. I had her leg taken off, and she's alive now. Matter of fact, I was just with her this morning. She lives nearby in a very nice apartment. I have two nurses 24 hours a day, and I'm very happy to have my mother. My mother may have one leg, but she's still my mother, and she's still there. She's very, very sharp, and this was something that we made through together, and I'm just glad that I was able to talk my mother into living.
Now, you write about your father, Frank. You say that he was a tough guy. He never drank, but he used to rough you up a bit with a belt. And then one day, he was about to start into you. You had weightlifted, and you had trained, and you grabbed him by the arm, and you said, no more, Pops. And you write that he was surprised and bewildered.
Well, you know what it was. My father was an extremely strong man, and my father was extremely strict. And I believe good points of my life came out of his strictness. When my father used to tell me I had to be home at 9 o'clock at night, even when I was 15 years old, I had to be home at 9 o'clock at night. If I talked back to my mother, and he found out, that was an immediate whipping I used to get. And you know, today, myself, I have four children, and I never put my hands on them. And today, they would look upon it as being abusive. But to me, it wasn't abusive. I was a tough kid. I used to get into fights all the time. And really, the reason that I was able to succeed was my father, and he taught me about my characteristics, about you have to work hard and don't take anything for nothing and don't accept anything for nothing, and go out there and work hard, make your own money, and be proud of the money you make and be proud of yourself. And I think his ideals really rubbed off on me. Even in my first book that I wrote, One Tough Cop, I said to my father, thank you, who I only got to know after I became an adult, because I realized what he did for me, because I could have went the other way very easily, and I didn't go the other way. I went the way with good credibility and good honesty, responsibility, and that's it.
You also mentioned earlier about complacency and how our society today is quite complacent. You mentioned your four children and how they haven't worked as hard as you have.
One of the things I think is it's kind of a joke, because I have a 26-year-old daughter and a 24-year-old son, both college graduates, beautiful degrees from colleges and all that. Still, they don't know what direction they're going in. So I said to him, I signed books to him. I says to my daughter Jacqueline and my son Richard, why don't you read your dad's book, and then don't ask me for any more money. And stop asking me for money and get your own directions in your life and go on with it. I mean, just think that your father's not there, because one ill effect that I have upon my children is I do what I never had, and I give them what I never had. It's not right, because they don't have the right responsibility of what it takes to have nice things, because they get it very easy. And I think that's the only really down point in my life that I have, giving them too much. But again, I never had anything, so I feel as though I have to give my children everything, and it's not right, you know, because they don't have the idea of how hard it is to work for it.
We're talking with Bo Dietl. His new book is called Business Lunch Attations, $28 Canadian, $19.95 American. It's published by Chamberlain Brothers. It also includes a CD featuring Bo's conversations with such notables as Jack Welch, Warren Buffett, Bill O'Reilly, and Donnie Deutsch. Because I'm very grateful that Bo's taken the time to speak with us, I already have a copy of the book. Penguin sent a copy. I'm going to go buy a copy of the book, and if anyone who's listening to us wants to win a copy, we'll give it away. Email me at planta@thecommentary.ca. We'll have a draw. And one person in Vancouver will buy your book. How's that, Bo?
Well, all I can say is that I've filmed two movies up there where I produced. I produced The Bone Collector up in Montreal. I did One Tough Cop up in Toronto, and I happen to love Canadian people. I think I'm very honored that Canada is our neighbor, and they're terrific people there, and the same ideals that are in this book for Americans can work. And it's great that you have Canada with the democracy that you have up there, and the democracy we have in the United States, that dreams could come true, and business can come true, and success could come true. And this is all part of this book, because if you live in another country, you certainly can't be successful like this. And we have to thank God about our countries that we could do things like that, like become successful in our countries.
I've read the book, and I've watched you and Imus for a couple of years now, and if I had to sum up the Bo Dietl philosophy, I thought of a couple of words: honest, hardworking, loyal, sentimental, generous, grateful, open, friendly, and not phony. Does that sum it up for you, Bo?
You know what I love? I love the way that some people have described my personality, and I'm 54 years old, and I happen to have a reputation of being a very tough guy, and when I was on the streets of New York being a detective, I don't think there was too many people that directly were tougher than I was on the street with criminals. And I mean, I was fair tough. I didn't shoot people down. I had the opportunity to use deadly physical force. That means shoot my gun at people and probably kill a lot of people, but I never did. I always used my physical strength to overcome people. And I love strength, but I also like compassion. And I love when I have this strength with compassion, I mean, I'm able to feel things. When I used to be a homicide detective and I hit a house and I'm looking for somebody or a witness, and I'll never forget, I think I talk about it in the book, and there were these three young boys, I believe they were 7-8 years old, and they were totally naked in the house with all filthy and dirty, and I walked into the house and they had nothing in the refrigerator. The mother was there. She was a foster mother, and I directed. I said, I'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be back every day for the next month. If these children are not clean and clothed, I will go to social service and have them removed from you, and I want food in this refrigerator. And I made it my duty to make sure that these young boys were taken care of. Now, people say, well, you were a homicide detective. Why are you getting involved with something like that? That's the whole idea, is people should do their job and do it as best as possible. Don't just sit back and do 8 hours from point A and watch the clock tick. I mean, that's what complacency is. You're not doing your job. And do the extra stuff. If you're a salesperson and you have a quota of $50,000 of sales a month, do $500,000 a month. Do better. Better yourself. You know, let your employers see that you want to work harder. Let them see that you want to be better. These are all the motivational things that I have in the book for people to really become successful.
And where was it in your lifetime that you observed people that hard work has become a bad thing? Where did you notice that first?
Well, I really noticed it when I was on the police department. When I was on the police department, I noticed that there were so many officers there who would just want to get through the day without getting involved. You know, I mean, to say you're a police officer and you don't want to be involved, to me, is saying you're not doing your job. And I know 80% of the police department get up in the morning, and they go to work, and they just want to get through the day, and they want to get that pension, that 20-year pension, and retire, and go on with their lives, buy a little house down in Florida, and retire. I mean, to me, that's not living. That is just getting by, and that's the problem with a lot of people. People become so lazy, so complacent, and I think there's so much more out there for people to go and strive for.
Now, one of the things you talk about in the book is that judging people by how they look is unfair and petty, but we all do it, and isn't that the truth? And appearance, personal appearance, is always very important to you, right?
No, we did a lot of research when we did the book, and I did a tremendous amount of research, and I give credit to all the research that we did. And a lot of people don't realize that first impression of a person is not the way you speak. It's not you knowing the subject. 60% is the way you look, the way your demeanor of the clothes that you have on, your hygiene, your physical look is so important. And if you feel good about, you know, you don't have to, everyone doesn't have to buy a $6,000 suit. You could buy a suit from Men's Warehouse, and you could have it, and you keep it neat and pressed, and have a nice white shirt, crisp shirt, with a nice tie, and if you wear something, and you feel good because you look good. And that's a very important factor of being successful.
Now, the other part of the book is about networking. Joe Grano called it relationship management. How important has that been in your life, and how have you been successful because of your networking and your connections?
You know, Joe Grano is the former chairman of the board of UBS Payne Webber, and I'll tell you very honestly, I don't like the word networking. I like the personal relationships, I think is a better word, because in reality, I had never gone out to meet people to see what business I could get out of them. What it was all about was becoming a friend. And once you become a friend, it seems like everything just falls into place. And if you have to make a phone call, the other side picks up the phone call. So that's what it's all about. It's developing friendships that possibly could turn into business. You don't do something or a favor for someone thinking what you get in return.
What about, you say that you go out every night and you hang out at Rayo's. You have fun doing that, but at the same time it is work, right? It is necessary to network and to make friends with people.
Well, I don't know if it's work. It's just that's the life that I chose. And my day begins when a lot of people's day ends. And I'm out there, and I'm like tonight I'm going up to Rayo's. And I have the governor of New Jersey, the state of New Jersey. I have a federal judge up there. I'm not doing it for any other reason, just to be with these people. There's no agenda in line. I'm not looking for anything. I put together a table with some famous lawyers, some powerful lawyers, and I put it together. And I said, you know what, this will be a nice table. Did I think of the ulterior motive behind it, what I could get out of it? No, I'm just doing it.
And you legitimately like people like Jack Welch and Warren Buffett and Sumner Redstone, right?
I happen to love them, and Sumner's a friend of mine, Welch is a friend of mine, and Warren Buffett is a friend of mine. And it's funny, I don't do any work with Jack Welch. I don't do any work with Warren Buffett. I don't do any work with Sumner Redstone. So, I mean, that's the perfect example of these are my friends. Now, if I had some kind of a situation where it was important for me to pick up a phone and they would put me in contact with somebody, you know what? I would pick up the phone if it was that important enough, and I certainly know that they would entertain or lead me in the right direction.
You also talk about loyalty. Would you talk to us about loyalty and how important that is, whether in work and life?
Oh, it's so extremely important. I mean, loyalty where you have people that work for you, and where, you know, another opportunity comes up for another job opportunity where they can do something out from underneath you. I mean, that's why you have to put the trust in the people. And I'm very trusting. Have I been screwed over in this business or in any business? Absolutely. Do I still trust and am I still loyal to people? Absolutely. I've been burnt many, many times, but I'm still the same person. I still keep coming back because I think there's so many more positive people than negative people.
What do you do to people that burn you or screw you? Do you get back at them?
Well, you know what? At first, it's more of a hurt than anger.
Yeah.
And eventually, I say to myself, okay, let them do whatever they got to do. Eventually, we'll circle around, and there'll be an opportunity where I may be able to help them again. This time, I will not help them. And then again, maybe I will help them, because I am a very forgiving person. I had someone who had worked for me 15 years ago, and he left with two of my top lieutenants from one of my businesses, and he had a hard luck. He opened his own business out from under him, the same type of business. Then I found out that he was not doing well. I brought him back. About a month after I brought him back, his son was in a diving accident, diving off a boat accident. He broke his neck. He became a quadriplegic. I ended up raising, over the years, $1.4 million for his son and for the Christopher Reeves Foundation. And I brought him back, and then he ended up leaving me again within a year ago. And, it's the second time he did it to me. I took him back. I don't think I'll take him back again, but maybe I would take him back again because I have a very, very big heart.
Now, how much of your success has been hard work, and how much has it been luck?
Hard work, I think, all of a sudden, hard work can become success. Luck is very good to have. Luck is very important also, but I think if you work hard, eventually it'll translate to success.
Indulge me for a second. I ought to ask, I'm a big fan of his, Don Imus. When I see you on his show, it's more than just a business relationship or making an appearance on his show. There's a real friendship there. It's based in loyalty. It's based in not being phony. What is it like about Imus that attracts you to him and he to you?
You know, if you listen to me, I've been doing the show for 19 years with him. He could be kind of mean to me also. But I think we're at a level where I've shown my loyalty and trust to him. And our relationship now is probably one of the closest of friends. And regardless, and he knows, regardless if he's behind that microphone talking to 12 million people or not, he will be my friend for the rest of my life. Whether he can support me or do something for me makes no difference. And that's a very important thing people don't realize. A lot of people who are in power positions think that they have a lot of friends. What they have to see is when they're not in commanding that power position, how many of those people really are there as their friends. You'll see a lot of people leaving the ship, and I'm not one that leaves. Whether the guy who shines my shoes, and I talk to him when he shines my shoes, he's the same importance as Jack Welch is to me.
Bo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And again, we got Father's Day coming up, and it's a great book for your children, for your father. It's just a great motivational book for people to buy.
Anybody anywhere can read this book, and I highly recommend it. It's called Business Lunchitations. It's published by Chamberlain Brothers, $28 Canadian, $19.95 American for the commentary. I'm Joseph Plunham.